Eimer told us Noach. These are the children of Noach. Noach is tzaddik. Noach was a righteous person. Tomim hoya v'dayroisav, he was perfect in his generations. And so Lekim is halach Noach. With Hashem, Noach walked. So the Torah over here tells us three mitzvahs on Noach. Number one, Noach is tzaddik. That's number one. Thank you. Tomim hoya v'dayroisav, he was perfect in his generations. Number three, Esau Elokim is Halach Nayach. What is Tzadik? What is Tamim Hayyub Dairoisov? And what is Esau Elokim is Halach Nayach? What are the three milas over here? Separate milas that the Torah enumerates. So Shlomo HaKohen of Vilna says, Amiri the Kipshat. The Torah tells us, in this generation, there were three major Aveiros. There was Avodah Zarah, serving idols. There was Gili Arayas, there was adultery, and there was Gezo. Keneged each one of those things, Noach stood out to the other extreme. Keneged Gezo, it says he was a tzaddik, he was a righteous person. He walked in the Derech HaYosha. A tzaddik is generally someone that goes straight, he doesn't take from somebody else. Like they say over from a broiler, that a person has to be not only glad kosher, he has to be glad yosha. So when it says tzaddik over here, tzaddik, righteousness, it means that he wasn't nichshol in the gezel of the generation. Keneged the znus, keneged the adultery, it says tomim hoyev b'dayroisev, his generations, the generations that came from him, they were all pure, they came from a pure lineage, from a pure legichus, he wasn't, you know, over on Isserei Shishishra being mezana. Keneged avayit zore, esro lekim zhalach nayach. Kadosh Baruch Hu, he walked together with Hashem. So Mamish, Keneged the three chatom, Rashi enumerates that these were the three chatom of the generation. Keneged Gezel, Noach is Tzadik. Keneged Znus, Tamam Hoya B'dayroisav, his generations were complete and straight and pure. And Keneged Avodah Zarah, didn't see any other gods, Esau Lekim is Halach Mer. Tamim Hayyab Dairaisav. So Rashi says over here, Yeshmi Rabbi Seinu Darshan Lishvach. There are those of Rabbi Seinu that darshan is for praise. If in his generations of Dairaisav, he was a tzaddik kol shekein, if he would have been in a generation of tzaddikim, he would have been much greater. V'yesh darshan lignai. There are those that darshan it to his detriment. B'dairai Hayyab Tzaddik, in his generation, he was a tzaddik. If he would have been in the generation of Avraham Avinu, he wouldn't have been considered anything. So in the past we've asked this question, the Farshim asked this question. If you have the ability to darshan it l'tayva, why darshan it l'gnai? Some people say v'derech hazayim, v'derech halotzit. Yesh me Rabbi Seinu darshan l'shvach. Rabbi Seinu always darshan l'shvach. Yesh darshan is always, no, it doesn't say Rabbi Seinu. Yesh darshan, always darshan l'gnai. Okay, that's a nice v'derech halotzit. But what's that in the pshat? If it's shaykh to darshan l'derech shvach, why darshan l'gnai? And the last thing he said in pshat, but I saw this year the same v'er said by the Chofetz Chaim and said by the Imre Yem, aside from the literature, aside from the chidusha, so it's vaystois kuliyavloi pligi on this vort. With the yesh darshan lignai, there's a tremendous divrei chizuk to each and every one of us. Why is that? You know, a person sometimes thinks to himself, "Who am I compared to the previous generations? I'm so little, mamish." Compared to generations before the war, mamish, there was so such big bali avoda. There was people that were so great in learning. And Kosh came before World War I. They lived the life of kedusha. They lived the life of preachers. Das smother was neir v'ayim. Where could I begin to compare? So who am I in the eyes of Hakadosh Baruch Hu? Ve'ev binich. That's the age darshan lignai. Hagam Noach was not anything special compared to the other generations. Abraham Yosef, his generation, he did what he was supposed to do. He saved the remnants of this generation, and all of mankind stands on a person like Noach. Right? It's one thing if you talk with a tzaddik, everything is tzaddik, we have everything good. That's one shot. The Yesh Darshan and Lignai, they're not doing it to find fault in Noach. They're doing it to give us chizuk. If ever a person falls in his in his ruach, and he says, whatever I do, I'm nothing compared to whatever. I was going to be when Mashiach comes, we're all going to be together, we're going to have to compare to the previous generation, it will be busy, busy, busy. Friend of mine, he says, I was telling him, I need Mashiach already. He says, Mashiach? When Mashiach comes, I'm going to run the other way. He's not going to want to see me. You know, says, it's not true. From this, Tamim Hayyavidei Reishim was only Tamim in his generation. And Afal P. Kain, the whole world for generations and generations stands on such a person. Because the Baruch Hu doesn't want us to be somebody that we can't be. We have to stand out against the generation. We have to remain individuals. We can't give in to the ruchos of this man. But if in our generation we're talking doing what we, at least we try to do, of course everybody has their failings. And you know, nobody is perfect. But if we maintain our thrust for ruchnius and we stay away from the ruchos of the world, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. I mentioned this a couple of times before, but it's a very important insight that the Chofetz Chaim said. Somebody once came to the Chofetz Chaim and asked him, he says, there's a Zohar HaKadosh that says that a mitzvah that's done without kavanah does not go up to Shemayim. How do we stand a chance? We stand a chance, you know. If everything is kavanah, mamish, we're left without anything. So the Chofetz Chaim told him, let me tell you a nice. He says, before World War I, a fellow came over to me, he was a baker. He came over to me, he's complaining to me, he says, oh, parnassah is very schwer, mamash, I'm over a whole night baking, mamash, I work like a dog. Comes the morning, the customers don't like this, they don't like that bread, the bread is too flat, this bread is too round. So choosing, I'm left with so much that I don't sell. This guy gave him a brach and he gave him some chizuk. During World War I, the Chofetz Chaim ran away from where he was, and Punkti happens to meet this baker. So he asks the baker, "How's Parnassah going? How's Parnassah going?" They say, "Oh, mamish gevaldik. Oh, wow! Sell everything I make." So I said, "I don't understand." He said, "Before the war, when things were b'menucha, I asked you how Parnassah was. You told me Parnassah. You were complaining about it. And now, during the war, when the economy is so bad, now Parnassah is good." So he says, "Rebbe, why don't you understand? Before the war, when everybody's been menucha, they could afford to be picky. They don't like this bread, they don't like that bread, you know. Very picky. But during the war, you can't afford to be picky. People take what they can get. Memela, I'm sold out every single day." It's the same thing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When was that Zohar HaKadosh said that a mitzvah without kavana doesn't go up to Shemayim? During the times of the Beis HaMikdash, when there was Torah widespread, and the world was a different world, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu could afford to be picky. When the ganze Welt is mushkes, and Klal Yisrael, they're matni zeher, they're mamish, they're so little and so small, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not so picky. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes what he can get. That's the same ideas over here of the Chofetz Chaim, the Imri Emes, that a person should not have a chalisha zadas. A person is always believed to say, that's what a person has to say for himself. He shouldn't settle for kapas. He has to realize that if he goes on the right path, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he accepts his avoid. Vayomer Hashem l'Noach, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Noach, Boy atov v'chol beischa el hateva. You come with your whole household to the table. Ki oischa ro'isi tzadik l'fonai ba'adoyer hazeh. I saw you as a tzadik in front of me in this generation. The Rashi asks a question. Why is it in the beginning of the parasha? Torah says, Noach is tzadik, tomim hoya b'day ro'isav. He was both a tzadik and a tomim. Yet over here, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Noach, he says, Ki oischa ro'isi tzadik. I saw you a tzadik. Why does it not mention tamim? So Rashi answers that from here you see that when you're not speaking to a person directly, so then you say his entire praise. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was speaking to Noach directly. When you speak to the person directly, you know, if you say too much, you might become a balgaive. Also, it's flattery on your part. It's derech eretz not to say all of the praise in front of him. This is what Rashi answers. But I saw a beautiful pshat. B'shem the Ma'ari Kari. He says a different pshat. And he asks a different question. Okay, so good. So it was mixed shlochim in front of. So why over here did Hashem call him a tzaddik? Let him call him. He told him, "Say ki oisko reisi tomin b'dor hazeh." Why did the punk use tzaddik? So he says, "I'm maybe the kipshat." A little bit different than what we said before. We know that Noach lived through two generations of chet. One was the generation of the dor hamabul, and one was the generation of the dor haflogim. The yetzaharas of the two generations were different from each other. The generation of the Dor HaMabul was tight. I got to take, I have to take, I have to take, even if it involves stealing, even if it involves being mezana, taking somebody else's wife. That was the meaning of tight. That was the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah in the times of the Dor HaFlogeh, that was more of a Hashkafadik thing. That was Avodah Zarah. They wanted to fight against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They wanted to build a Migdal Babel to fight against Hashem. In each generation, Noach needed a different tactic to fight against them. In the generation of Znus, he was a tzaddik. Yosef HaTzaddik. Why is he called Yosef HaTzaddik? He was in Mitzrayim, in a mokum of Zima. He was tested by Yosef Potiphar. Because he didn't fall prey to Yosef Potiphar, he's called tzaddik. Someone that doesn't give in to his taiva, someone that's able to overcome the nisayim of immorality, is called a tzaddik. In the generation of the Mabul, Noach is tzaddik. The other generation was a generation of Avodah Zarah, when people were moving away from Hashem. Over there he was a Tamim, Tamim Tiyah, Im Hashem Alekecha. So when it says Noach is Tzaddik, Tamim, it says B'dai Reisov Loshen Rabin. Throughout the generations he displayed both Midas. In the generation of the Mabul, he displayed the Indian of Tzaddik, he did not give in to his title, like Yosef HaTzaddik. In the generation of Avodah Zarah, when people turned away from Hashem, then he was a Tamim. Maybe he says a portion of the Teretz. In the beginning, Eilatolus Noach, Noach is tzaddik. Tamim hayudar b'dayreisav. It's talking about Noach throughout his whole life, b'dayreisav, throughout the generations. There he was both a tzaddik and a tamim, a tzaddik in the dor ha'mabul and a tamim in the dor ha'kvogim. But over here, when Hashem is talking to him now in this generation, ki oischarisi tzaddik b'dor hazeh. In this generation, in the Dor HaMabul, Oyskorayisi Tzaddik. Now I see you're maintaining the Midah of Tzaddik. He couldn't say Tamim. It wasn't a yet to be a Tamim over here. Here he was a Tzaddik. He was first a Tamim later on when he lived through the Dor HaFlogeh. This is a beautiful shot that the Mahari Kari says. Vayyavay Noach Ubanav Ishtay. Unishay Banav Itay El Hateva. Mipnei Mei HaMabul. Noach, his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives, they came with him to the Teva, Mipnei Mei HaMabul, from before the water of the Mabul. So, Rashi, what does it mean, Mipnei Mei HaMabul? Only when the water pushed him into it. Well, clearly he didn't go into the Teva. But the water was already gushing down. It forced him to go in. That's when he went into the Teva. So, Rashi, Af Noach Mikatnei Amonai. Noach also was lacking a little bit in that moment. He was lacking a little bit in that moment. Maimon, he believed. But Rebbeinu Maimon, he wasn't totally believing. In other words, as long as the Mabul wasn't coming down, Noach wasn't going into the table. He wasn't 1,000% sure that it was going to happen. He didn't believe it 1,000%. So, I saw Schleimvolde ask the question, how in the world can he say that Noach was lacking in that moment? 120 years he's building this big edifice, this big clubhouse, and people are passing by and saying, "Hey, what are you doing over there?" He says, Hashem is bringing a Mabul. Wow, a Mabul, yes, a big deluge, a flood, you know, so I'm going to be saved with this. You know, one after another, they're passing by, and he sticks to his own. Hashem is bringing a Mabul, and you should know you better do tshuva. 120 years he's going through this. And I'm sorry, he was a Navi. So how's a Shaykh to say he wasn't the Maimon? That's a very short thing to say. What's the Pshat over here? So Dr. Shlomo Volbin, this is really a Yisayid that's brought down in the Musa Sforim. In Emuna, there are thousands of different Madregas of Emuna. A person could say, "I'm Imam of Emunah Shalem b'Vivias HaMashiach." He could believe technically in Mashiach, but how far does he believe in Mashiach? Is he really a Maimon? Famous Ma'aser of the Chofetz Chaim. There was a Din Torah that came before him between the city of Vilna and some other city that wanted to hire the Chazon Ish's brother as a rov. They were fighting over him, and they both presented their times very well. So the Chofetz Chaim was thinking and thinking and thinking. He says, "You know what? This is a very shverish shaila. you know, this year was Shemitah. It says Mashiach is going to come. It's Yom Shviyas. Let's wait for Mashiach to come, and Mashiach will settle the problem. So people, he said, "What? You have a Sadik? By me is a Davar Vaday." He literally believed it's going to be a few weeks. Mashiach will be here. Why should I pass it now? And I'm not sure. Mashiach will be here. It's Yom Shviyas. What's the shot that the other yidden didn't believe in Mashiach? Of course they believed in Mashiach. Over disbelieving and disbelieving. By the Chofetz Chaim, it was in the repulsion, but it's Yom Shviyas, he's gone. Shlomo Volbe gives a Meiridike marshal. The Gemara says in Masechet is getting a Meiridike thing. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, when the Romans laid siege to Yerushalayim, so Yochanan ben Zakkai, they snuck him out on him. They made like he was dead. They made a Levaya. And he went to the outskirts, to outside the city, to go speak to Vespasian, to Aspasianus, the general, to see if he can make some peace. So when he comes into the general, he says, "Shalom Alecha Malka, Shalom Alecha Malka. Peace be you on, peace be unto you, king. Peace to be on you, O king." So Aspasianus tells him, "You're Chayiv Misa. Why do you call me the king? I'm a general. The king, the emperor, is in Rome." He says, No. You're really the king. Because if you wouldn't be the king, you wouldn't be able to conquer over Yerushalayim. As it says in the Pasuk, V'ha-Levonim ba'adir yipayim. Levonim is referring to Yerushalayim, and Adir means a melech. If it fell into your hands, that's a sin and you're a melech. A few moments later, a shliach walks in from Rome and says, "They made you the emperor." Right, let's think for a second. Yechem Azake is standing in front of the most powerful men in the world, and he calls him a king. He wasn't afraid that he was going to kill him. And he says, "How do I know you're a king?" The Pasuk says you're a king. Finished. But he's not a king. By me, if the Pasuk says he's a king, I don't care if he was crowned yet. I don't even care if he knows about it yet. As far as the Pasuk goes, he is a king. Finished. That's not someone that has total emunah, that even on the Metzias, you see, he's not on his throne. He's not wearing a crown. He's not on his throne. And people call him general. If the Pasuk says he's king, by me he is the king. There's no suffix whatsoever. That's 1,000% emunah. Noach was Zichron Amayim. He was Zichron Amayim. But he wasn't on the highest madrega of emunah. He was Maimon, as Rashi says. The Ainu Maimon. Lamaisa, it wasn't Baruch HaShemesh. If the rain wasn't coming yet, and people were still scoffing and making fun, then it wasn't yet a reality. As long as it wasn't a reality, he wasn't yet willing to go into the table. So, Zichron, he was a Maimon. And actually, Kach is on the Madrega of Amunah of a Navi. Over Afal Pikain. From one Madrega of Amunah to another Madrega of Amunah. It's like America, the Mizrahi Maimon. So it's not a teller that he wasn't on the highest Madrega of Amunah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "I will establish my bris with you. No flesh will ever be destroyed because of the mabul. And there will never ever be a mabul to destroy the earth." A double lashon over here. "I'll establish my bris with you. Nobody will ever be destroyed by a mabul again. And there won't be another mabul, period." Why does it have to mention it over again? I mean, let it just say there's not going to be a marble. And for state, if there's no marble, then no flesh will be destroyed by the marble. But why does it have to say two separate statements over here? The Emes is that the Orachayim HaKadosh asks this question as a gan tzarichus with numerous terutzim. But I saw a Moiri de Kipshad, b'shem ha-goinu shmul shmel ketoybish. He was the Rav of Yas, a goin out here. And he said the following teretz. He said that even after the earth dried up by the mabul, there was still terrible remnants of the mabul. There was a terrible stench. There was the residue of the sulfur, the poison in the air. There was definitely bacteria, the dead bodies, some of them evaporated. It was still in the air. It was terrible disease. And if there was terrible disease, so even if the mabul was over with already, and even if the earth dried up already, but there was always the sakana, the people will still die. So for that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them two things. Number one, you don't have to worry about the mabul now. The mabul is done with. V'lo yikareish kolbosar oid mimeh ha-mabul. From this mabul that already was, you don't have to worry about the residue. You don't have to worry about the germs in the air. No one's going to die anymore because of this mabul. In addition to that, in the future, I'm not going to bring another mabul again, ever again. It's very beautiful. It fits in very beautifully in pshat. The first one's going on the mabul that was. The remnants of the mabul will not kill anybody. Number two, for the future, there's not going to be another mabul. Parsha the Dar HaPlogin says in the pasuk, "Vayichol ha'aretz sofer echos." The whole earth spoke one language, udvarim achodim, and they had one common purpose. By hibin osam ikedem, they traveled from the east. By yimtzu ubikor be'eretz Shinar, they found a valley in the land of Shinar, which is Babel. By yeshusha, by yomru isha reyehu, hava nilbino levenim, let us make bricks. Benisra for the straightful, we'll burn him. And then after they made their bricks, let us build for ourselves a city with a great tower, and its head will go up to Shemayim. So Yosef Chaim Zonneville asks a question. Why was it necessary for the Torah to tell us over here the way that they're going to build the Migdol? Let us go, let us make for ourselves bricks, and let us make for ourselves pitch and cement, and then later on they'll build the Migdol. Let us just say, they got together and made up, let's build a Migdol up to Shemayim, and let's fight against Hashem. Why was it necessary to say these extra words, let us build bricks for ourselves? So Yeshua Zonneville says that here the Torah tells us the Hashkofet. How does it come that mankind wants to go fight against HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He says it starts with a smaller thing. The Teva of man is, he wants to cut himself off from Hashem. He doesn't want to be dependent on Hashem. If he's dependent on Hashem, there's Shibudim. He has to do the mitzvahs of Hashem. Man, his tendency is to try and be free. So you say, the minhag was usually to use big stones to build buildings. That was the minhag in those days. They didn't have bricks. The first thing was, let's not use Hashem's stones. You know, let's not use his stones. We can make our own bricks. That's number one. Once they do that, and once they cut themselves off from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the simple things, Memele, that leads to the building of a Migdol when you rebel against Hashem. He says, with that they can answer a second kasha. Why is it that they built it in a valley? If they wanted to build a building all the way up to Hashem, go to the top of a mountain and build it over there. So Rashi says that there were no big mountains in Babel. Babel is basically low land. According to what I'm saying, is very good. They wanted to build something that wasn't dependent on Hashem. The mountains that was elevated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We want to show that we can get by without Hashem. We'll make our own bricks. We'll build our own building. We don't have to be son of the Bechlal on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That kind of hashkof is what leads to total Muhammad against Hashem. What did he say? He said it. There was the president of Czechoslovakia visited Eretz Yisrael in the early 1900s. It was right after World War I. And there was a tremendous, tremendous eureka in the level of the world, and the morality of the world, from before World War I to after World War I. And by the Yidden, Yuzicha saw it. By the Yidden, there was a tremendous, tremendous eureka from before World War I to after. So Yosef Chaim was speaking to this president, who was Mechaside Umas HaOlam. His name was Thomas Masaryk. From the Chaside Umas HaOlam. As a matter of fact, there's a kibbutz that's named after him in Eretz Yisrael, Kfar Masaryk. But he was mamish, he was very interested in how the former Yidden are doing, and the support that's being sent from Czechoslovakia is being put to good use. So he visited Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonneville, and Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonneville was telling him about how the development of modern technology goes hand in hand with people, you know, rebelling against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the more we become modernized in technology, we feel the Kaychi B'yotzim Yadi, we don't have to be Seinuch anymore on the natural resources HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. We forget about Hashem when we rebel against Him. And He told him over this vort over here, what's the Hova, the Nilbun Olevenim? Why is it of interest that they're going to build their own bricks? Because the Chetzilah, they did not want to be totally HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By the way, they wanted to make their own bricks. We don't have to be dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says at the end of the Mabul, the Yoyna came to him towards the evening. And there's the leaf of an olive tree plucked and it was in her mouth. And Noach realized that the water had subsided from the earth. So Rashi says, why did the Yaina bring an olive leaf? Because an olive leaf is bitter. She said, Mutav, it's better that my Mazina should be bitter in the hands of Hashem, and it shouldn't be sweet in the hands of a bus of a dun. I'd rather take bitter things from Hashem than have to come on to sweet fruit from a bus of a dun, which is a shtickle shver. What kind of hakar is that? I'll tell you, is that to Noach? They speak about it. But I saw a different Ta'ara over here. What's up, it brought an olive leaf? There's no other leaves that are bitter. If the Torah says Ali Zayas Torah Bepiyah, must be that there was something special about the Ali Zayas. So I saw a beautiful chant in the Sefer Gan Rava. It's Yodua that the Dor HaMabul was mashkis every min. Side, the humans were mashkis. They were mizana with people that they weren't supposed to live with. The animals were mashkis as darkam. If so, it's mistavra that they went out of their way to graft the different meaning of trees so that the meaning of trees shouldn't be pure either. But the Yerushalmi says that there's only one tree that cannot be grafted with other meaning, and that is the Zayas. So it's Yitachin that the only tree that survived outside, of course, Noach took into the Teva, he took trees, you know, to replant. But the only tree that survived outside and wasn't hit by the Mabul was the Ali Zayas, because it is the only tree that remained in perfection, that it wasn't grafted with other things. Memela Ali Zayas Torah Bafiyah. Those are the Sefer Gan Rava. Have a good Shabbos, everybody. Oh dear. Shabbos.
Also, in the Zion, was Holly thrown in short Zionist?
Could be.